as a spiritual book, not a book of religious language only. It is the mind of the Spirit written. The Bible is the mind of God written. It is a spirit book. But we all can read the Spirit and not know how to play the games. What is wrong? He says, you have to combine something. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. When we have spiritual thoughts and when we read the Bible, we are reading spiritual words. This is not a Bible, but the Bible is on here. Spiritual words. These are spiritual words, but you must combine with the spiritual words spiritual thinking. And you can do that because we have the mind of Christ. So you have the mind of Christ that can do all the thinking, that can contact with the words. When the mind connects with the words and you think in terms of what those words say, you now have turned on your receiver. The receiver is now on. You say, my mama told me this, my daddy told me that, but what does Jesus say? God says that the way God reveals or discloses himself is through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. It is a spiritual connection that must occur for the disclosure of the revelation of God to be made known. For some people, we know them barely. Other people we know somewhat casually. Other people we know fairly well. Some people we know very well, but all people we only know to a limit. The best person in your life who you think you know well will surprise you. They will shock you. In fact, the best person in your life will shock you, but you will shock you. How many times have you said to yourself, hey, that's not me. I wouldn't do that. That's not me. You just shocked you. The knowledge of another person or ourselves runs at varying levels. Therefore, if the closest person in your life you don't know, you kind of know, you know them better than others, and if you can't even figure you out, because there are so many things you don't want anybody to know about us, about ourselves, because we don't even like that we know it about ourselves, because we are finite and limited, then it ought not surprise you about your inability to be able to figure out God. We can't even figure out people. Can't even figure out ourselves. So it ought not shock you that the figure out ability of God is on a human level is virtually impossible. To come to know God means he must reveal or expose himself to you. Like, even though the testimonies this morning, how God was working behind the scenes, revealing himself, trying to make our hearts ready so he may direct us, speak to us, communicate with us, so he may fully expose himself to us. That's why I like how Sister Allen says, we got to praise God anyway. Amen. Before we get an attitude or get mad, we're just holding up the situation. The Bible says that God's wisdom and knowledge are unsearchable. Amen. You can't Google it. The search engine can't find it, and it's beyond our capacity to be understood. In other words, he is outside the realm of finite because God is infinite. So revelation is where God discloses, unveils, pulls back the curtain, and lets you see him. And it says that he does that through the Spirit. So to come to know God, you must come to know him on a spiritual level. And if he is not getting down into the spirit level, you are not coming to know him as he wishes to reveal himself to you. Remember, we are made up of three parts. Our body is made up of three parts. We're body, soul, and spirit. Body, the physical world, the five senses, the soul, and the self-life. You are who you are because you have a soul, your own personhood, your own personality. That is your soul. The spirit is the deepest part of you. That is the God contact part. That's where you can contact this other realm in the spirit of your being. That is the part God wants to interface with you. That is the part where he wants to expose himself. How do you know when God is exposing himself to you on this deepest level called the spirit? If you go up one verse to verse 9, he says, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." Amen. In verse 9, he is not talking about about heaven. He is talking about the earth here and now. When God is interfacing with you on the spirit level, it will involve things that you have not seen. It will involve things that ear has not heard. It would involve things that your personality could not have come up with. It says, never have entered into the heart of man. What we have done, we have blocked the knowledge of God. It's limited. Our knowledge of God is either is limited by our body or our soul. We've done that. We do that. Eyes seeing, ears hearing, those are the senses. So my five senses can interface with the world. We expect to interface with God like the same way we interface with the world. And he says to interface with God involves things that the eyes have not seen, the ears have not heard. It goes deeper than what our physical capacity is to figure God out. You can only naturally and conclude that whoever God is, naturally we can say, if he did all this, he is big. Because everybody who can create all this, they really have something going on. So you can figure that much out without coming to know him. You can look at a painting and say, whoever painted that is a brilliant, is very brilliant, and still not know who the artist is. You can hear a song that says, oh, that was beautiful. That composition sounds wonderful, and still not know who the composer was. You don't know who the author is. So with the eyes and the ears and the taste of all these other senses, you can figure out, well, God must be big. He must be mighty. And you still not know him. My little granddaughter picked up last night, and she looked at, time we took her outside, she looked at the stars and says, look at all those stars, look at the moon. And people will look at all the stars and look at the moon and know that God, if God, somebody, whoever created it, must have been big, must have been mighty, and still not know who God is. It involves more than the five senses. The experience, intro knowledge of God, it involves more than our personhood or our soul. Neither has entered into the heart of man. It is not your ability to conceive. You have people running around saying, well, I think God is this. I think God is that. I feel that God is telling me that. I think, I'm not sure, but I feel that God is telling me to do that. Well, the problem with your soul is that your soul, my soul, our souls are distorted. We need help to clarify the picture. Like when you go to see a 3D movie, you put on these glasses to see clearly. Without the glasses, the picture looks fuzzy. Whenever you try to figure God out with your soul, your own individual personality, he is still going to look fuzzy to you. He is still going to look fuzzy because like a distorted mirror, that you know these mirrors that they have at the fairgrounds and at the carnivals, they make you all look twisted, and they make you look your head small and your body big and your body small, and it twists you all up. It distorts your body, disfigures your body. There is a distortion that occurs in our lives which limits our ability to perceive God correctly. So God then must reveal himself to us by his Spirit. He says, well, why? Because the Spirit searches all things, even the depth of God. God does have a search engine. It's called the Spirit. He searches, and he searches the deep things of God. That's when we, before we get all out of something chaotic, and things always happen in this world. Every day things happen. And I can go through the list of each one of y'all. Y'all have some bad stuff that happened this week. But if we can hold our peace and continue to praise God and keep our mind and focus on him, he will take you. We can hear from God, and you can learn to he'll tell you, reveal to you that which direction to take, what to say, where to go, the deepest things of him. If we do that. There's another world that, and I mentioned this one time before, that we only see it by video clips, a history channel that I look at, and that is the depths of the ocean. It is, we can't live down there. It can get so deep, and so the deeper you go, the darker it gets, and the deeper you go, the more compression that the water puts on you, and you, if you don't have the right equipment involved in the right thing, you will not live down there. And talking about all the creatures, things that we have never seen, never heard of, never even heard of before, that don't even come up for light, we don't know about, we haven't seen yet. And the further you go down into the ocean, the darker things get. Trying to penetrate the bottom of the ocean, and normally we just can't do it. You have got to have special equipment with special people who can get that deep, because it is a different world down there. To come into the experiential knowledge of God, it takes special equipment. It is not normal or ordinary. It says that is the that's the job of the Spirit, to take us deep into the things of God. The job of the Spirit is to take you deep in the thing. It takes you deep God diving, if you want to put it that way. Just like a submarine, it takes you deep, and that thing better be pressurized, because the deeper you go, the more pressure you're going to be crushed. Because the deeper you go, pressure is so great, it will collapse you. The experiential knowledge of God requires something that can take us there. And he says that come through the Spirit. The Spirit of God, God's Spirit, the instrument, and only the Spirit of God instrument can take you deep God diving beneath the natural order of your physical frame of reference, beneath the distortion and confusion, beneath even your soul can't even comprehend it. He relates this to our own human existence. In verse 11, he says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." In verse 12, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, and that we may know the things freely given to us by God." No one knows you better than you, and even you don't know you well. No one knows me better than me, and we'll tell people that too. You hear somebody say something to you about you, and you say, the first thing we say, they don't know me. You be written, Ms. Ruth, you're ready to fight, holding up your money. They don't know me. And you'll find out somebody says something about you, and that's what happens. So since nobody knows a person better than their own spirit, and nobody knows God better than the Spirit. So if you want to know about God, there must be a spiritual connection that makes that possible. It is the job of the Holy Spirit. It is called in 1 John and 2. You don't have to go there. Write it down. 1 John and 2 is called the anointing. Everybody wants to know what the anointing is. The anointing is your capacity to receive or to make spiritual connection and receive spiritual information that will take you deep God diving, that will let you experience God at a deeper level. And John says, and you all have it. Every Christian, every person who is really born again has the anointing. So you have it. Remember the message a few, I guess, weeks ago and growing in the knowledge of God, and I said, it's in there. You have it. Everything that we need is in there. You may say, well, my anointing is not working. Let me use this for an example. And I use this because I think is the simplest way to get you to understand the anointing. And I mentioned before DirecTV. Because I had DirecTV, I had the dish outside first, and then I got DirecTV. So I pretty much understand how it works. And let's say you have a DirecTV. If you have DirecTV, let's say, for example, I have the anointing. I have the anointing because I have a dish on my roof that enables me to make connection with a satellite in outer space, so I get a picture in my house, in my family room. I have the anointing. That is, I have the capacity to receive the picture from a place I can't see, outer space, from a reality that I can't touch, a satellite. But I can see it where I live because I own the anointing. I own the satellite system. You follow me now? But in order for the satellite system that I own that makes connection from a dish on my roof to a world I can't see, situated next to my TV is a receiver. The job of the receiver is to receive the signal from outer space, translate it through my dish, and reveal it to my TV. My TV gets the revelation from what has been a position on my roof in order to receive from an invisible realm. If I try to see a picture without my receiver on, it is not going to happen. Not that I don't have the anointing. I have DirecTV. It is that I have not engaged my receiver to pick up the anointing that it possesses. If you are saved and got a dish, that is the anointing. But if your receiver, your spirit is not working or is not even on through Christ, through God, even though God is sending the information, you are not getting a clear picture. Amen. And if you are not getting a clear picture, you are sitting down watching a blank screen because you are not getting the network channels anymore. You and I have been introduced to a new TV life. You have received the anointing. Why? Because if you are saved, you are truly saved, a child of God, you have the anointing. You have a dish. God has placed in every believer a receiver to receive what the signal is from the Spirit of God to him or her. But it must be received on a spirit level. The reason why many of us aren't getting to know God is we are satisfied with the picture in our family room. Whether it's fuzzy or not, we just get content. We are satisfied with that. I have the anointing. That is, I have the capacity to receive from a place I can't see. Okay, y'all understand that? And some people have the anointing because they're not experiencing what they're experiencing because they cut costs. They want to put forth the effort or the work for them to experience what God is trying to reveal to them. And I know that I am experiencing him because I am. How do I know that? How do you know that you are experiencing, you're hearing from God? Because if you're hearing from God through the Spirit and God's revealing and opening himself up to and exposing himself to you, you are changing. You can't help but change. You want to know how come I know? I don't want to do that anymore. That's how I know I'm changing. I don't want to talk like that anymore. How come my desire to act like that, I don't want to do that anymore? How come I have the power to do things I didn't have before? Because you are seeing him clearly. This is where the church gets a little off base. Because sometimes the church will turn to the world to help it become the church. They will go to a non-Christian point of view to help people become better Christians. He says, this is freely given. I would be delighted to do this. God is free for us. He is glad to give it. But only on the spirit level. But the natural man, verse 14, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. He contacted the man who is engaged with the spirit to the natural man. He contrasted that man. In old school, everybody wants to be a natural man. There was a song about it, just the natural man. That they may be good for your homies, old school guys, may be good for them, but it's not good for your God. Because the natural man doesn't have a receiver. A natural man is an unsaved man. He's just natural. He don't receive the deeper knowledge from God. The natural man cannot receive the things from the Spirit of God because they don't have the anointing. They don't have direct TV. So all they get is what they can see in the natural, what they can hear in the natural, what they can touch, what they can taste, what they can smell, or what their soul comes up with, which always is distorted. People will tell you what they think God is like, what they think God will do, and I don't think God would want me to do that. I don't think God would want me to do this. Everybody has a thought because their soul is far, so far, it can't go as far as it can go away from God because they don't have a receiver that is the natural man don't have a receiver. So if you are a natural Christian, you are a Christian that doesn't know God. Chapter 3 of verse 1, you don't have to turn that there, but has a name for you. It is called carnal. And you know it is a carnal Christian because they look like everybody else. You walk as mere men. There is nothing supernatural about you. There is nothing about you that eye has not seen or ear has not heard. You are regular, not super unleaded. You are like everybody else. So the man or woman who doesn't have a receiver can't get a picture. But the Christian who has DirecTV, who has a satellite, but they act like the natural man because they don't get a picture. Not because they don't have the system. They have the anointing, but they have become, like chapter 3 says, fleshly. Chapter 3 and verse 3 says, for you are fleshly, you are still thinking like men think. So if you are going to know God in your spirit, because that is the level where we come to know things, in the soul you think you know things. In the spirit you know things. Once you become spiritual, the Holy Spirit invades your spirit and the two are merged. so that now you can freely receive things that are given by God. In verse 15, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. How do you know if you are spiritual? It has to do with how you evaluate things. Appraisals. When you appraise something, you analyze it to determine its value. He who is spiritual knows that this is a spiritual-minded person because they have an appraisal process. And the appraisal process that they use is whether they think that they are looking at is consistent with the Spirit's way of thinking. The spiritual person is not concerned about what my mama said, what my daddy said, and surely not what my friends are telling me. They are not concerned about what the popular opinion is. They don't care who agrees with them. That is because he or she has another appraisal process. His appraisal process is spiritual. He wants to know what the Spirit thinks about this matter. And unless you raise that question and raise it first and raise it about all things, you are not spiritual yet. You may be a Christian, but you may not be spiritual. You may be carnal or fleshly, because your first thing is to what? It's not what I think. It's not what my friends think. It's not what my parents say or did. It's not what I heard on TV. And they have the spirit of the world working. Therefore, they are not spiritual. Therefore, they don't experience God. But the spiritual man or woman is the person who has the appraisal going on consistently. They just don't visit the anointing occasionally. They appraise all things. You see, a lot of Christians are selective appraisers. Stuff that we know a little something about, we bring up God's name with those things. Other things we shift back and forth. We don't like it when it's like when you're in a car, you have your radio, and you have this button, the band button, and the band button will take you to all kinds of different stations. You go back and forth, trying to find some station. And you go to FM, it goes to AM, and it just keeps searching all the time. And then you hear a song that you like, you stop it right there. And then after that song goes, you don't like the next one, you push the little band button again, it goes searching again, just keep going back and forth. The spiritual man has this consistency about him that it's normal to appraise all things, the Spirit's way of thinking. It is abnormal not to do so. So if you are at this not spiritual, you're just going back and forth. Your mind is, you're unstable in all your ways. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know. You think you listen to like something you listen to, but it's not that. You're not satisfied. You're not content. You're just ill at ease, pretty much. The spiritual man and God reveals himself to the spiritual appraisers of all things. Yet he himself is appraised by no one. Verse 15 says, because he looks at things spiritually, he appraises them that way. So he or she can't understand things from a spiritual perspective, while at the same time not being understood by others. Look at it this way. If everybody understands you, you are not spiritual. If people don't think you are a little different, I'm not talking about weird. If they don't think that you're a little different, I'm talking about being different. She doesn't approach things like the rest of us. He doesn't look at things like the rest of us. In other words, the appraisal from people who don't know God or who are carnal in their relationship with God can't figure you out. If everybody can figure you out, then you are not in touch with God. It's like going down 64 eastbound and trying to come back on the wrong side of the road. You're not right. You're going to have obstacles everywhere you turn. if you're going the direction that everybody else is going, and nothing else is coming up, there's no opposition, then you have to check yourself a little bit. Verse 16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him?" In light of what we just said, that the spiritual person appraises all things, appraised and appraised by no one, why is that the case? Or who has known the mind of the Lord so that he can tell God what to do? But we have the mind of Christ. What school does God have to go to learn a little something? Where would you recommend what university God needs to attend? Because he needs a little bit more information on this subject. What hospital should he visit for medical training? What school or psychology place does he visit to find out how the soul works? What mental institution to find out how the brain operates? Where would you advise God to get a little information because he is somewhat misunderstood? Well, God doesn't have to go anywhere to learn anything. Our God's knowledge is immediate, clear, and absolute, and comprehensive. God knows what he knows because he knows what he knows. God doesn't know what he knows because he learned what he knows. Everything that you and I know, we discovered in one form or fashion or another. We had to learn it. God doesn't have to act on discovery. He has pre-discovered it, and he is immediate, absolute, comprehensive on all matters. He does not look to be instructed. He certainly doesn't want to be instructed by me or you. God, let me tell you what you should do about this information. He doesn't need that information. Even if your information is right, you got it from him. Verse 16 again says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him?" But, everybody said but. This is what I want you to know. Based on the word and in the scriptures that I have read, but we have the mind of Christ. I'm going to tell you something you have that you may not know you have, but you need to know you have it. You have the mind of Christ. You have the brain of, so to speak, of Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, he was in constant communication with the Father. And the Father said, whatever the Father said, a thought would be transmitted to Jesus. His will would be transmitted to Jesus. Do you know what Jesus did when he had the mind of the Father? He saved a lot of time because he didn't keep making the same mistakes over and over again through trial and error, trying to get something right. He was in such perfect connection, a contact with the Father, he always got it right the first time. Now, wouldn't it be a blessing if everything we could ever go through and everything situation that comes before us that we'll get it right the first time? We won't be beating our heads against the wall, wasting time trying to get something right by making error after error after error because we have the mind of Christ. We save time and get it right the first time. Jesus was in such perfect contact with the Father, he always got it right the first time. He always got it right the first time because Jesus had the mind of the Father. Jesus said, "My time is not yet come. The Father don't want me to go yet." He didn't waste time. He didn't waste life. He didn't waste errors. He didn't make any mistakes over and over again because he was piggybacking on the mind of the Father. But guess what you have? We have the mind of Christ. What Jesus had from his Father, we have from Jesus. This is the capacity to piggyback on his thinking. When you and I piggyback on God's thinking, we save time, we save mistakes, we save repeating the same things over and over again. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. We have his thinking now. Now, it is possible to have a mind and act like you're crazy. It is not because you don't have a mind, you just lost your mind. That is the carnal, that's the carnal Christian. But like I said before, we have the mind of Christ. We have the capacity, the spiritual brain to think Christ-like through and though after him. Like Christ thought his father's, thoughts after him. We think Jesus' thoughts after him, so that we live a life as life was designed to be lived. It is our refusal to evaluate things spiritually that has caused our problem. But to keep our problem and not be transformed because we keep living in the physical or soulful realm, and we don't get down to knowing God in the spirit. How do I do that? Back up to verse 13, it says, which things we also speak, not in words thought by human wisdom, words. Now, the receiver can give you 500 different channels. You see, God can go all over the place. Places because it is still coming from one satellite, through one dish, through one receiver, but it opens up a whole world of pictures. God can give you a specific picture, but you must be tuned in to the one receiver. And when he knows that you are going to take his word and adjust your mind to that word, not adjust this word to your mind, or your mind to this word, you're adjusting this word to your mind, then he can let the Spirit of God take you deep sea diving or deep God experiencing. We all have gone to a Xerox, we used to call them Xerox machine, a copier machine, to have a copy printed out. So what you do is you put the paper in the machine and a light comes on. The light takes the picture and is transferred to another sheet of paper so that what's on the second sheet is the same thing that's on the first sheet. Even though the second sheet is not the first sheet, it has on it what the first sheet has. And on the second sheet, because there was a transfer due to an illumination or a light that did the transfer. God just doesn't want you to have a first half. God just doesn't want you to have the first sheet of paper. He wants you to Xerox it on your mind that that's what's in his mind, get in your mind so that you become a copy of what the revelation says, and he can illuminate you into the mind of God so that you experience the transfer of being in a new life, being in your life. You experience God, true God, being in your life. What God sees, he wants to illuminate that word so much in you that you become part, you become just like him. You think like him, you walk like him, you talk like him. God wants to illuminate your spirit, the human spirit, with his spirit, so you become just like him. That's why we say, you know, we are the only Jesus that people are going to see. But if you don't be illuminated by the spirit and let God infiltrate your spirit, the light has, well, you're just walking like everybody else. If, nowhere in the world some of these people walk around and say, if that's what God is like, forget it, buddy. So the question is, do you want to know him in your spirit? If you do, he is available to be known right now. God is ready. Anybody in your heart is ready. God is ready to illuminate your spirit, your heart, that you may have the mind. He don't want you to waste time going back and forth with the simple, to God they are simple problems, health problems. He don't want you going back and forth wondering what to do, what to do next. God says, you know who I am. I want you to know who I am. I want you to act like I act. I want you to talk like I talk. See, that I keep forgetting, remembering that he said everything Jesus did, the Father did. Jesus said, well, I talk like the Father. I did this because I go places because my Father want me to go. I did things because my Father. Everything is his. He was a duplicate, an exact replica of his Father. So Jesus couldn't go wrong. God says, Jesus, he sent Jesus here so we can be exact replicas of him. So our thoughts, the way we go about doing things, who was it was fighting over, two mothers was fighting over this baby? Solomon, right? He was fighting over this baby. And Solomon had to have the mind of Christ because he was ridiculous what he said. Give me the baby. He took the baby and said, I'll cut this baby in half. And then, but see what? That's God thinking. That was wisdom. We had God's wisdom because he know the real mother would not, she'd rather give her baby up than for anybody to harm her child. So the woman said, stop, stop. You let her have. He said, this is the mother. God can illuminate things and ways and situations in our life that it'd be stupid and ridiculous to somebody else. But God has you in mind. Why? Because we now have the mind of Christ. We have been illuminated. He took a photocopy of the perfect person and made us duplicates of that perfect person. So the same thing, when you made a photocopy, the same thing that was on this sheet is on the second sheet. Every detail is perfect. If you do like I have, you put ink in that thing. All God wants you to know today, all of that being said, is that we have the mind of Christ. So he wants you to know that, so that when you go out today and things aren't still aren't right, we know how to act. We know what to do. We know which way to turn. We know when to hold them and when to fold them, so to speak. Why? Because you and I, we have the mind of Christ. We have the strength to resist the temptations of this world. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. People are going to come at us. The world is going to come at you with stuff. But we are able to overcome and endure. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. Heavenly Father, right now, we just